section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Mark's 8th annual WrestleMania pre-show. We have Doug, Roger, Aaron, and Andrew to go over WrestleMania 33 from Orlando. So let's get right into the matches. So pretty much it's going to be the curtain jerker. It's going to be Austin Aries versus Neville. And if Neville, of course, is your 205, or I should say cruiserweight champion. Aaron, what do you think about this match?
I think that they've done a fairly good job building Neville up as a champion and being the king of the cruiserweights. And they've actually done a good job inserting Austin Aries into this position. I actually have been wondering what they might do in this role. Typically, you have faces win. So, you know, I didn't have one until I got to this spot right now. And I think I'm going to go with Austin Aries on this.
Well, I think there's going to be some trickery going around here. I think that you'll see Aries just about to win, and then all of a sudden I believe that Neville's gonna cheat to win some way somehow. So that's what I really believe is gonna happen this match. So I will go with Neville in this case. Doug, what are your picks?
I actually have Neville going over, same reasoning as you do, Andy.
All right, Roger.
I actually have Aries going over here, with the reason kind of being that I do think they've done a great job with Neville, King of the Cruiserweights, but I don't think this feud is over. And to me, if you're going to extend this feud, Neville winning ends the feud. So I'm not saying Neville can't get it back, but I think this is kind of the type of match where Aries wins the first time. Neville maybe becomes a little bit more vicious. They continue to feud at whatever the next irrelevant pay-per-view is. Maybe they blow it off at either a Raw, a 205 Live. You know, that could be like a main event that takes up half the show. Or they could maybe push it out to, you know, one of the more important pay-per-views for Raw. But I go Aries here.
Now, what about the 20-man Battle Royale? Do you think there's going to be any surprise entrants, or do you think it's going to be someone they've already announced?
I think you'll get the surprise legends like you always do. Like, I could certainly see some of the Hall of Famers like DDP going in. I think it'd be a really cool twist to have Kurt Angle show up in it, but he probably won't. You'll get some of the ones you didn't see. Like, we saw Tatanka last year. You know, we could totally see Honky Tonk Man showing up. Maybe, you know, Steve Williams, something like that. But to me, as far as the winner, I don't see any other choice but Braun Strowman on this one. I would be stunned if he's not dominating this Battle Royal from start to finish.
And Doug, do you think Braun's going to win this one?
No, I'm actually going to go with Sami Zayn winning this one. I think the fact that he had to fight to get in, and the fact that this would also kind of make the was a face go over, he'll get some kind of cheap thrill over Braun and claim the victory.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Braun. I agree with Roger on his points. I think that Braun, if I were a second pick, I would pick Sammy, but Braun is my clear number one.
And I'm going to have to go with Braun as well on that. So let's talk about the SmackDown women's, for the women's title on the SmackDown ladies. Now, you know, right now you have Bliss, Lynch, Natalya, Carmella, Mickie James, and Naomi. On this one, as much as I want to pick someone surprising, I'm actually going to go with Naomi winning the title back.
Have they officially announced Naomi's going to be there for this match?
She came back on SmackDown.
Okay. Then I'm kind of surprised that they did that. I would have figured you would try to keep that as a surprise. Personally, my pick would be for a surprise person, whether that's going to be possibly an Asuka showing up, or, you know, rumors are having it around. Still, Ava Marie might be there. But I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to actually say that Ava Marie is going to win and become your SmackDown Women's Champion.
I heard that she might be done with the company, though.
I also heard she was released.
Yeah. So are you still good with Eva, though? Eva Marie?
You know what? No, then change it to Asuka, because I think it's not going to be somebody that's on the roster, right? Or quote-unquote on the roster right now.
All right. So in this case, like I said, I'm going to go with Naomi. And Aaron, who do you think is going to win this match?
You know, I'm going to go with an easy one. I'm going to just say Alexa Bliss retains.
I think Aaron should be right that Alexa Bliss wins and retains. I think you two are right. Naomi wins. Hometown Florida. They love to give hometown victories to the lesser superstars. So this is perfect for Naomi to win. You know, she can celebrate her big moment that she came back from injury, blah, 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 blah.
Now, Roger, we were talking about this before for the next match. So we have Enzo and Cass versus Cesaro and Sheamus versus the Club in a ladder match. And they just changed this to a ladder match on Tuesday. So, Roger, what do you think about this match now?
So, originally, I thought this match lacked any real sizzle. Like, to be quite honest, Enzo and Cass are great talkers, but they really haven't done a great job of building up them as legitimate tag team contenders, to be quite honest. They've won a couple matches, gotten knocked out. Cesaro and Sheamus are still a throwaway tag team. You know, they're kind of the odd couple. And Gallows and Anderson were booked like a joke. We talked about this many a times over the past year about how they were booked so horribly. To me, they added the ladder match last moment to create a spark. And if you want to create a spark at WrestleMania and you're randomly throwing a ladder match in there, there is one team available out there who you can immediately turn this into a fatal four-way match, and the crowd is going to go absolutely crazy. So, I mean, I think it was changed to a ladder. I think they're going to break things, and I think Andy is going to be the happiest person on the planet because I think we're seeing somebody return.
Yes.
You think in the match you'll see somebody return?
I think when the match starts, I think Daniel Bryan will come out and say, actually, or not Daniel Bryan, Stephanie McMahon will come out and say, actually, we have a fourth team. And that's when I think the crowd's going to know who it is, and they're going to go absolutely wild.
And I completely agree with that.
Your pick is for the Hardys.
It is. I think they return.
Okay, so you're picking the Hardys. Andy, are you doing the same?
Whoa. I did not say I think the Hardys win. Yes. I pick the Hardys to return.
Okay.
No, I heard that was your pick.
No. I picked them to return. I still think Enzo and Cass win.
Okay.
I think the Hardys just make an impact.
And much as I actually do want to pick the Hardys, I'm going to have to go with the Club on this. I think the Club will end up winning because why not? I mean, it just seems that's the most logical thing that'll happen this match. The Hardys come back. That way they competed on Raw, and then they get moved hopefully to SmackDown to actually make the tag titles something, because with the Usos, you know, I'm glad that they have the titles, but then they can take them off the Usos and you have a big storyline going in for a few months after that.
I think this is a return to Orlando, therefore NXT, therefore Enzo and Cass is my pick.
Yep, and I concur. I have Enzo and Cass as well. Now, one of the next matches we have here is John Cena and Nikki Bella versus Miz and Maryse. This has been a very interesting buildup. You know, John Cena had the title, and really, for the most part, he didn't want it back. You know, he had that one little match, but then it was a like, oh, well, you know, the title is gone. I hit 16 times. I don't need it back now, apparently. Instead, I'm going to focus on the Miz. So the transition has been kind of interesting, I think. But what they've done with Cena and Miz, how they've butted heads consistently has been pretty fun. I've actually enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the total Bella skits that they've done on SmackDown. So my pick is Cena and Nikki Bella. Now, Doug, what do you think about this?
I think it's been a great setup up until this last SmackDown, where it just seemed overbearingly John Cena in control of the whole thing. Unfortunately, I think this is one of those things that Miz has had a great run of doing great promos and everything, and still is doing great promos and everything, but this is going back to a John Cena burial and maybe a Mariel. That's my little pun.
I completely agree. I think John Cena and Nikki Bella will win this because, of course, they got to bury them. Of course, you know, because Maryse, there's no best of Maryse. You'll see a big goose egg. And I will say that Cena does propose to Nikki. That way, Nikki can go off for a little bit, take time off, and Cena can go do his movie.
This is the easiest match in the world to predict. There is zero chance that The Miz and Maryse are winning this match. The only question is if Cena's going to propose, and I think that's pretty much a foregone conclusion. You know, Miz got his little victory over Cena at 27. It ain't happening again.
Oh, that's right.
This is Cena. This isn't a route. Bet the house, bet the farm, bet whatever you want to. Miz ain't winning. So, you know, I don't expect the match to be anything more than a showcase for Cena and Nikki to have their stupid little proposal. I mean, you know, to me, I think the best part of the entire feud was when Miz mocked John Cena and his stupid rules. I mean, you know, I know Miz is the bad guy, but I'm sorry, you made Cena look like an idiot to me. Like, I just laughed. I was like, wow, you really have house rules. You're a grown man. Like, okay.
And the one good that job, was on Miz. SmackDown, that was the best one they did. That the one on SmackDown where they had Daniel Bryan sit on a book, which I couldn't stop laughing about. But the one on SmackDown was probably the best promo they've done. And then Cena buried both of them. And he buried Maryse, and then he buried Daniel Bryan. He buried both Maurice and then The Miz, and I think it actually hurt him. And I think it's just payback. You're right, for WrestleMania 27. But the one thing that I'm pretty entertained about this match is the Raw Women's match. And Roger, you know, I know you're a big fan of Sasha, but do you see her beating Charlotte, Bayley, and Nia Jax?
So if this were an elimination, I think you would have a legitimate argument for all four women winning this match, because anyone could steal a pinfall. With it being elimination, I think that basically narrows it down to only two contenders. Charlotte's not going to win. You know, they blew her streak at Fastlane. You know, I think her time in the sunshine is over. Sasha doesn't make sense winning, because I think most of us can kind of see the writing on the wall. And Sasha's going heel. Logically, she should probably go up against Bayley throughout the summer, which means you have two choices here. You either let Nia Jax beat all three and kind of let her arrive on the scene, or logically, you have your champion retain and make her look strong and then set her up for a feud with Sasha and Nia going forward. So to me, Bayley needs to win this match. I think the best way to have Nia get eliminated is she looks dominant to start, and then all three of the women team up on her. You could even do something crazy, like all three of them pin her at the same time, so she literally just cannot kick out, so she doesn't look weak, and the three go, hey, you were the biggest threat. We had to team up to take you out. Problem solved. Nia looks like a monster, and now you can let the three of them, and then you can let, you know, Bayley hits Sasha with a belly to Bayley, and that kind of sets up their feud. And then Bayley eliminates Charlotte to win, you know, and walks out of WrestleMania. Problem solved.
Yeah, in this case, I do believe that Bayley will retain. That's I think to me that just seems logical. But I believe that Bayley would kind of do something where she may fall on Sasha by accident, and it's 1, 2, 3. So I believe it'll be something weird like that. Then Sasha on Raw turns on her, But I believe at the pay-per-view, you give it to Bayley, you'll get one of the biggest pops of the night, too, because there's so many people that remember her from NXT that always went to the NXT shows, and they looked up to her. So I truthfully believe it's probably, to me, it's just a lock. Bayley's going to win.
I agree with the start that Roger had, that all three of them are going to pin Nia Jax, especially after SmackDown, where Nia turned on everybody and actually really was dominant until the very, very end. But I believe this is actually going to be Sasha. I think Sasha and Charlotte team up against Bayley just to go at it one more time. And then Sasha, and then you still have your Sasha versus Bayley, but with Sasha being the champion.
Little BFFs reunion, huh?
That's right.
I agree with Doug. Actually, I have Sasha winning. I have her turning heel. What I could see here is after Nia is eliminated, Sasha gets a quick pinfall over Bayley, and then just does a shrug of her shoulders and says, look, you know, I want to get the win. And then it'd be Sasha versus Charlotte at the end. But we'll see. We'll see.
What do we have a better chance of doing right now? Either Bayley turning heel or CM Punk coming back to WWE?
CM Punk coming back.
CM Punk, yeah.
Bayley is a character who should never, and I say this very rarely about people, she should literally never go heel. Like, she is honestly too lovable to logically try to get little girls and grown men to hate her. Like, I just, she could be heel under a different character, but Bayley cannot be a heel, in my opinion.
And I believe that the fans are behind her too, because it's not like she was just given a spot. She actually earned it. I mean, and then she took this character that really was meant to fail and made it into something and inspired little, like, just seeing little, like, girls that are like my daughter's age. And, like, even my daughter likes her. She's like, oh, I like the people with the air. Like, that, it, to me, is very inspiring. So, definitely, yeah, I think you're – I completely agree. She'll never turn heel. But, of course, we've seen both – the next match, both these guys turn heel multiple times, and that's Seth Rollins versus Triple H. And, Aaron, I'm going to send it over to you.
Yeah, so Rollins, Triple H. So this is a match that we actually weren't sure was even going to happen because of Rollins' injury, but it seems like it's going to be okay. An unsanctioned match, so it's gonna be a street fight. I'm sure there'll be some run-ins. You know, who knows, maybe we'll get the Old Age Outlaws in there. You know, maybe Finn Balor will return and help out. I'm sure Samoa Joe will be involved in some way, shape, or form. But I've actually enjoyed the build-up to this for the most part, since it has been there has been some confrontations. They've had a nice video package for this, and I actually like Triple H in this type of a spot. One of the issues that we had with last year's WrestleMania was I don't think that Triple H and Roman Reigns needed to be in that main event, but, you know, there really wasn't a whole lot else that they had to work with. So I can understand that. But I like Triple H when he's fighting in the undercard, you know, very similar to John Cena. You know, we want to see them put over younger talent. I think that this is a clear cut. Seth wins here. You know, Triple H puts him over. This propels Seth to the main event spot, where you could have Seth Rollins then take on the Universal Champion at the next pay-per-view after he gets a win over Triple H, that sort of thing. So, you know, for me, Rollins is the clear winner here.
Seriously? I'm going with Triple H, Doug.
I'm actually agree with Aaron. I think it's going to be Rollins. This is going to be a big setup. I think you're right. There's going to be a lot of run-ins. There's going to be a lot of help. There's going to be a lot of this or that. But eventually, I think Rollins is going to be able to sneak a win in, and this will infuriate Triple H to go with the rumors that Rollins might be coming over to SmackDown. So let's be done with him, and we don't want him bragging about it winning on Raw, so let's send him to SmackDown.
I think there's something more to the story that we are missing. You know, I don't think that that little meeting that he had with Kevin Owens, and then Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe magically becoming buddy-buddy, despite the fact that the two of them are known for being very loner-like characters, like they don't really buddy up with people. I know we had Owens just turn on Jericho, but for the most part, when Owens is in his like sadistic mode, he is by himself. So I think there is something coming down the pipeline. So it's not unfathomable to me to see Hunter go over here. But logically speaking, Seth Rollins is your future. And no matter what victory he could get down the road, a victory at WrestleMania means more than any victory besides a championship. So it doesn't. I think Hunter is smart enough to know that Rollins needs to win here. He may not be the one who is standing tall at the end of the match, but I think Rollins will get the victory in the match. I will say one thing, Andy. Last year, you picked Triple H to beat Roman Reigns. How'd that work out for you? And now that you can't change it, good luck with picking Triple H against another member of the Shield. So, you know, yeah, we'll see.
Andy, I am kind of curious. What is your rationale for Triple H winning?
Here's why. It's ego. It's number one, it's ego. No matter how you look at it, it's all about his ego. If you want to, Seth Rollins had his moment already, but Triple H needs the moment. Seth Rollins realistically doesn't need it. I think he deserves it. I don't think Triple H deserves it, but Triple H putting someone over, he didn't even put Sting over. I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, is that he did not put Sting over.
Well, hold on, Andy. I would argue something here, though, to speak to your point about ego. Sting is not his creation. Sting is not a Triple H guy. Sting did not come from NXT. Seth Rollins did come from NXT. Seth Rollins was associated with Triple H. Seth Rollins was the authority figure who Triple H built up. So I can see Triple H saying, of course, I'll be more than willing to pull over my creation because I made Seth Rollins. Like he always likes to say about Daniel Bryan, I made Daniel Bryan. So if we really believe Hunter's ego is as big as I think we all do, why would you bury him here and make yourself look worse when him beating you makes you look better in the long run? Because that's what he's trying to be, a creator, not a destroyer.
But I really believe that what's going to happen is that Owens and Joe will come in and beat the crap out of him. And then Triple H will come over and get the pin. And it'll be the one arm pin, like the 1, 2, 3. And then I wouldn't be surprised if Rollins had like a foot like right by the rope or something like that, where he could argue that. But I still believe that Triple H will be out on top in this one. But Roger, you have the great point, though, that you are correct on that. That everything about him, he created Seth Rollins. You are completely right. And that would make sense. But I still believe that there's too much of an ego where he's like, well, I really should win. It's WrestleMania and I don't wrestle that much. Anyway,
fair point.
Anyway, so let's move on to the IC title match. But by the way, I forgot that Dean Ambrose was the Intercontinental Champion again, and versus Baron Corbin. Now, on this one, I'm not even going to get into it. I'm just going to say Baron Corbin will win the title here.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Corbin as well. I think that this is a point in time where he can have a heel win, and it's not that big of a deal. You know, it's the secondary title on SmackDown, and so having him win it would be a good thing. They do need to have something go on SmackDown. They need to have some title change. Ambrose has been a great character thus far, but I think that it would help out the brand a little bit more to have this type of a title change and to allow a younger talent to potentially work his way up. I think that they see Corbin as a future main eventer, a future star for them, somebody who could potentially hold the WWE title. And so this is a way to test that audience out. to see if they actually accept him or boo him, you know, and dislike him in the way that they're expecting. So my pick is Baron Corbin.
This is the rise and fall of two people, one of Dean Ambrose and one of Baron Corbin and the Intercontinental title. I have to agree. Corbin's going to win this one. It's going to be sad for the Intercontinental title because I do not think he's going to be a great Intercontinental champion. This is something the last couple of years, the ladder match has made that Intercontinental match just that much more exciting. Daniel Bryan winning it, and then last year's one was, what, match of the night, possibly? Even though it was the show opener, it was an incredible match. A lot of talent, a lot of things. Really boosted up the Intercontinental title. It's been boosted up, but then you had Dean Ambrose, who was your champion. He loses it, so we're just going to hand him the Intercontinental title. And what has he done with it, really? Not a whole lot. Everybody's kind of forgot that he was the champion. So this would be a good time to hopefully, if you want to try to rejuvenate it, you give it to Baron Corbin. I just don't think it's going to get done in the long run.
I echo your points, Doug, almost to a T, but it's actually for that reason that I'm going lone wolf and I say Ambrose wins, with the reason being that Corbin winning right now doesn't actually benefit him. The Intercontinental Championship meant something when Miz was holding it. So when Ziggler finally beat him, it was a moment. When Ambrose won the championship, it was more or less like revenge for you making fun of my girlfriend. So right now, because of just the way the schedule has been, they were focused on the Rumble, then they were focused on the Chamber, and he was the Intercontinental Champion throughout that. So there was no real focus on the championship. So to me, this is actually where I think Ambrose needs to win. You know, you should reward him for the year that he had carrying your brand. Obviously, AJ Styles was the guy, but Ambrose was, I would argue, number two while Cena was gone. And to me, this is a perfect opportunity for Ambrose after he had to do the disappointing match with Lesnar last year. You can let him get a quality win over Corbin. They can continue to feud down the road. They can blow it off at Money in the Bank if they really want to. But to me, I think the smart move here is to let Ambrose build that title back up so that when Corbin finally wins, we go, okay, that's a big moment. Here, I don't think this is the right time. I think Corbin will look good. I don't think you bury him, but I think Ambrose walks away with the victory.
Now, one thing also, the next match we're going to go over, and this is something that was said that I didn't realize. Now, it's going to be Shane McMahon versus AJ Styles. Now, they said something on SmackDown is that Shane doesn't usually wrestle a regular match. It's usually a street fight, Hell in the Cell, something like that. Do you think that's going to affect this match, Roger?
It affects what Shane can do. I'm not so sure, though, that they're not wrong for doing this, because to me, this makes this AJ's type of match, right? AJ has no logical reason to agree to a street fight. He's the better wrestler. He's better in the ring than Shane McMahon. So, of course, he's going to be like, no, I'm not fighting you in a street fight. I'm not going to use trash cans and kick them in my face. I'm not going to let you use kendo sticks and bash me in the skull. You want to beat me, you step inside these ropes, and I'm going to show you who the best wrestler in the world is, like I've been saying. So, you know, I don't think the match goes very long. I think AJ is going to dominate for the most part. I think Shane will get a little bit of his offense in. You know, it's going to force him to pull out maybe a shooting star press like we haven't seen since the Kurt Angle street fight. Maybe he pulls out a coast-to-coast again, but I think AJ wins this match 12 to 15 minutes. I think it'll be 2.5 stars, 3 stars. It's AJ Styles. He could carry us to a 3-star match. I wouldn't even be surprised. So I think Shane's better than us in the ring. So I think it'll be all right.
I think at this point, AJ Styles can take a brown paper bag and make the brown paper bag look good and get him over.
But could he make Dana Brooke look good?
Oh, come on. That's not we shouldn't talk about that. I mean, that would be his first 1-star match. All right. His first 1-star match would be that. And the thing is, and that's being nice to him. It's really a negative 5-star match. It just as soon as she walks down the ring.
I think that this should be just a complete and utter beatdown of Shane McMahon. AJ's going to win, or AJ should win, and I'm picking AJ to win. But I think it's one of those things that AJ just comes out and runs circles around him just to kind of prove that point that he deserves to be in the title match and should have been in the main event.
Yeah, I have AJ as well. You know, the build up to the match, they've actually done a fairly decent job for what it is. No one really wanted to see this match because no one really believes that, you know, that Shane McMahon's going to win, unlike last year, which is very surprising to look back on the fact that I think all of us picked Shane McMahon to somehow win. Against Undertaker, you know, for whatever reason, you know.
But I think I picked a draw, actually. I think I did something weird like that.
Yours was, I picked Shane McMahon to win, but I don't pick Undertaker to lose, sort of thing. And with this, they've done a good job doing the buildup. They really have. But no one was calling for this match. That's the only thing. And I understand that WWE, with them putting Shane McMahon against AJ Styles, that's WWE putting a lot of faith into AJ Styles. Because Shane McMahon doesn't wrestle everybody. And some of his biggest matches he's ever had, at WrestleMania, he wrestled X-Pac, which, you know, say what you will about X-Pac. But he also wrestled Kurt Angle, who is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. And now he's going up against, and he's wrestled Shawn Michaels and a few other people as well. But now he's going up against AJ Styles, who is the greatest current wrestler in WWE right now, maybe even in the world. The buildup has been good, but I don't know if anyone is really clamoring for this. I don't know if any fan is really wanting to see this type of match. With all of that said, though, of course, I pick AJ Styles.
Has there been a point where Shane McMahon actually wrestled? Like, you know, Kurt Angle is probably the best person he's ever wrestled. But is there anyone else that is on Kurt Angle's level besides AJ Styles?
Are we talking all time?
Well, anyone Shane McMahon has wrestled all time.
He wrestled Shawn Michaels at a Saturday Night main event.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that.
Yeah, he's wrestled Shawn Michaels a couple times. Eugene. He wrestled Eugene, who.
Oh, you
know. Didn't Shane and Randy? I mean, I like Randy Orton. I don't know if he's up in that level, but he's pretty good. I think Shane and Orton went at it a little bit during that 09 feud. I feel like Shane also wrestled Stone Cold potentially during the McMahon corporate helms, you know, that corporate ministry days. I feel like Shane and Austin may have gone at it, or Shane and Rock, something like that.
He's wrestled The Rock. That was actually one of his first matches he's ever had. I don't see him in Stone Cold, but that doesn't mean they never wrestled before. He's taken on Kane. He's taken on Orton, like you mentioned. So he's taken on a lot of people. And they, you know, his matches, I mean, the worst person he's ever really wrestled, I see Steve Blackman. And Blackman wasn't a bad wrestler. You know, he just never broke through the echelon of all the other characters. But he's been in the ring with a lot of really great people. It's just that this match in particular, no one was really asking for it, you know, unfortunately. So
yeah, and with this, you know, I'm gonna pick AJ Styles, just throw that out there. And one thing I want to complain about real quick is, why do we not get AJ Styles versus Randy Orton in some way, even if it's a triple threat, you know, a fatal four way? I don't care what they do, just as long as those two wrestle at WrestleMania, because that match would tear the house down. And the only thing I can logical thing that I'm thinking in my head is that, oh, they're going to wait till next year to do it and build it slowly. And then at Royal Rumble have something happen. And then they're like, oh, it's going to happen at WrestleMania now. That's the only thing I could think of. But
it's also possible that could be their SummerSlam main event, too.
Mm-hmm. OK, yeah, that's another possibility. I mean, and especially, you know, we'll talk about it later, but just depending on what happens in the Bray Wyatt match. But, let's move on to the next match real quick. We have Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho is the United States heavyweight champion. I'm surprised they haven't changed this to the Canadian championship yet. But, Doug, what are your thoughts on the match?
You mean match of the night? This is going to be the show stealer. This is going to be the WrestleMania match. This is going to be the one to watch if you are a Wrestle fan. Great setup. This has been a long time coming. It's been one of those things that you kind of knew was coming. It's the predictable thing that they were going to come down to a WrestleMania match. You didn't know what it was going to be, though, for the title wise, but after Fastlane, you knew it was going to be the U.S. title on the line. So this is going to be the match I want to see. I would like to see this be hopefully on a caliber of like a Macho Man versus Steamboat. That's what I really hope for, and I think they have the potential to do. But Y2J has been put people over at WrestleMania. I mean, he put Fandango over at WrestleMania. For some reason, he couldn't put AJ Styles over at WrestleMania, but I think this is going to be a KO match. You're going to see some interference probably by Samoa Joe. It's going to be a wonderful match. But KO is going to go out on top, and I don't see anybody else. Hopefully you're all in agreement with me, because that's the only thing I can logically see.
I mean, I don't disagree with you in the sense of like, this is where Owens should win. much like this is where Styles should have won, and this is where Fandango should have lost. And to use Doug's point, oftentimes WWE will just do the stupid thing, I think, just to mess with us. However, this has been the only good thing of Raw. Like, to be quite honest, of the only thing that has been booked for maybe the past 8 months, Jericho and Owens have been phenomenal. Whether they were together or the Festival of Friendship, which broke our heart, this has been well built. This came, you know, it's coming to a culmination at WrestleMania. To me, Jericho's going to be leaving here soon. And I think they know that we know that, so it, I could see a swerve. But Owens needs the win here. Like, this, logically, you need to build him back up to be one of your future stars. And a win over Jericho, even though Jericho lost to Fandango, he beat AJ last year. He's still, you know, all whoever many times he's won the world championship. Kevin Owens, you know, and make it Canadian Heavyweight Championship. You know, he's won the IC, he's won the World Heavyweight, let him win the U.S., call up the Canadian. Be perfect. Great gimmick.
I completely agree with bringing back the old Lance Storm gimmick on that. And, you know, one thing I want to say about this match, I really think this will be match of the night. This will be the Macho Man Randy Savage, Ricky Steamboat match that everyone talks about and they forget about. Oh, wait, who is in the main event? They care about this. So in this case, I'm just going to flat out say it. Kevin Owens is definitely going to win. Let's just give it to him right. We might as well just, he should just go down there. Jericho hand him the title and be like, all right, Canada, and then go on from there. So, Aaron, what do you think about the match?
Yeah, I'm going to pick Owens as well. The only thing is, I really think that Jericho should win. I think that if Jericho was not leaving, then this is where Jericho should win. And the reason why is because obviously he got turned on. This is good redemption then for Jericho. Jericho can put him over at the next Raw pay-per-view. That's the only difference I would do here. So moving on to the next match, though, I think one of the bigger matches that they are having, Roman Reigns and Undertaker are going at it. They are fighting over a yard sign, from what I am told. Good. Did I hear that?
That was amazing.
I thought
that's what they were fighting over, a yard sign.
I must have missed it.
But build up to this match started at Royal Rumble. A lot of us were predicting it was going to be Undertaker versus John Cena. This may be Undertaker's last WrestleMania. We're saying that every single year, of course, but they're really, really driving that home that this might be it. So the thing is, because it is potentially his last WrestleMania, Roman Reigns is Vince McMahon's golden boy. I really, really believe... I was actually looking for ways that Undertaker could win, and I found a couple. However, though, I think by and large, I really think that Roman Reigns has to win here. And the main reason why is because if they are expecting it to be Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar at next year's WrestleMania, then it can be very easily. You know Michael Cole is going to say, and these are the only two men who have ever defeated Undertaker at WrestleMania. They are definitely going to run with that. That is going to be a big selling point for them. So to me, it's got to be Roman Reigns, even though I don't want it to be. However, though, if he does turn heel, if he does a heelish move in order to win, I think that it could make this a very, very interesting match and actually help save WrestleMania.
So initially, I felt like there was probably going to be the chance that Roman turns heel based on the idea that they would do this as like a retirement match. Like, you know, when Sean came out and they had the little interaction, I think Roman said to him, like, he retired you, but I'm going to be the one to retire the Undertaker. So the fact that they didn't put his career on the line, to me, eliminates the idea of a heel turn. I'm pretty torn on this match, you know, 51-49. I say Roman because he's the younger guy. But I think there's a part of me that knows, like, WWE is tone deaf, but they have to know that Roman's victory is going to increase his hatred. Like, he is not going to be loved by the universe because he beat The Undertaker. They're going to hate him even more because you've diminished the one thing that makes Brock Lesnar stand out from everybody else. I shouldn't say the one thing, but the big streak. You know, now it's not one guy, it's two guys. And now the super push claim that everyone has been making about Roman has literally been set in stone when you let him go over The Undertaker, a guy that has beaten everybody under the sun at WrestleMania, essentially. I'm picking Roman. I hope I'm wrong. I really hope that they – I hope Braun Strowman interferes here. I really hope that he costs Roman Reigns the match and they just feud over the summer. Because to me, at the point in which he beats The Undertaker, I think he is forever going to be hated by us. Like, I think that's the point of no return. I think he crosses that threshold and be like, wow, you are the next John Cena, Hulk Hogan. We're just not going to like you. And I think that's a mistake because I think if booked properly, down the road, he could have been – a lot better. So I'm going to say Reigns, but it's not the right move in my opinion. Despite the fact that he's younger, I still think that's a bad move.
This is kind of a heartbreaker to call. I have no love for Roman Reigns. He can be a phenomenal person, phenomenal dad. He can do his little teacup commercial, but when it comes to wrestling and promos, he is absolutely horrible. I think WWE has a golden opportunity here to do something miraculous, whether or not anybody can call a heel change or if they even want to go heel. They have a lot of potential. I mean, this is one of those things that this is either going to be great, not a great match. I think this is going to be a slow, sloppy, horrible match, but this will be a great outcome or the worst thing ever. Bringing back hashtag cancel the network. I am going to pick Roman Reigns, but God, it kills me to do it. But Roman Reigns will win, and let's just hope that WWE can come up with some kind of creative way to escape WrestleMania.
I need clarification on this. Now, does it mean that they win by DQ? Does that count? So if, like, hypothetically, let's say Undertaker gets DQ'd and Roman Reigns actually wins. Does that count as a win? Or, like, if I was
it does, but for our purposes, yes. But for the WWE's purposes, they usually don't talk about that, with the exception of James Ellsworth. And, like, the fact that they use James Ellsworth DQ wins is kind of like a joke. I have a hard time believing they would do that. But, yes, I count whatever the official decision is. So if Undertaker is disqualified, then Roman won. I mean, that's the way you have to look at it because we've done that for title matches. You know, oh, Owens could win, but he's going to win by DQ. So he didn't have to beat Roman.
All right, just put me down for Undertaker then because I actually think Roman Reigns is going to get DQ'd is what I really think is going to happen. I think it's going to be because of Braun Strowman, and I believe it'll just be something continual that happens. And to me, it saves Undertaker. And since this was going to be, you know, we might as well just throw this out there. This will be his last match. Hip replacement surgery is no joke, and I doubt he'll ever be able to take a bump like he used to. And I think that he cannot go 20 minutes in this. I don't even think he can go 5 minutes realistically. He had issues within the Royal Rumble. So in this case, I believe it'll some way, somehow, Braun Strowman gets involved early in the match, and then it continues and continues, maybe even a rough bump, and then some way, somehow, Undertaker barely gets the win. But that's, you know, and yes, Aaron, by the way, they are fighting over yard sign. That's got to be the line of the night. So, but let's move on to Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt. On this case, I think, to me, this is a perfect time. If you want to, I would rather, in this case, I can see both scenarios working. I can see Bray winning and making him a bigger star by Orton putting him over. But I can also see Randy Orton beating Bray and then also later on, Orton and AJ having a match. But for all intents and purposes, I'm just going to, my gut says here that Bray's going to retain.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go with Bray as well. I think that, you know, this one is a tough one for me. I have like a 50-50 on this. I could see Orton winning, you know, not having a big deal. But I think that we're going to have Bray win here, and then Orton's going to chase it maybe for another month or two. He'll win the title. And then if AJ is still on SmackDown, that's when we could go into an AJ versus Randy Orton feud into SummerSlam. And that's when I would probably do it. So Randy Orton has to have somebody that he's going after for the next 4 months. And in my opinion, I think it would be Bray Wyatt, potentially Luke Harper. And they might throw in a random, like, a Dolph Ziggler in there until it's him versus AJ at SummerSlam. So I also pick Bray Wyatt.
I think you're going to, I don't know. There are going to be shenanigans in this one, too, I believe. I believe Wyatt's going to win and retain. I think it'd be a good call by WWE to let him carry on his title reign. It is new. It's for him. He's been the champion. Let's let it run a little bit longer. Orton doesn't need the title in order to put on a good feud or put on a good match. You could even do AJ Styles versus Randy Orton again to see who the number one contender again is or something like that. But hopefully this time at a pay-per-view instead of a SmackDown, and let them actually just wrestle. And maybe have AJ Styles win that match so that you have the third and final setup later down the road at a bigger pay-per-view like SummerSlam. So I'm predicting what?
I am literally torn down the middle on this one. I've gone back and forth about Bray or Orton because, much like Andy said, I see both sides to this. The one thing that I guess is my tiebreaker is that if looking going forward, I don't feel that Wyatt has anyone else who can chase him. Cena is not going to win the championship back at a non-WrestleMania main event or maybe SummerSlam. Like, you know, so realistically, I think we can rule out him breaking Ric Flair's record until next year. And if you take away Cena, that leaves you Dean Ambrose, who's the Intercontinental Champion, and I have no idea who the other big faces are. But if Orton wins, he's got AJ Styles and a ready-made feud. They already had a fantastic match. He's got rematches with Wyatt. They've got Baron Corbin. Like, they've got even Dolph Ziggler, who, despite the fact that, you know, isn't built the greatest, always seems to get hot-shotted into little title shots randomly. Luke Harper and Randy Orton had an issue. Like, to me, I feel like there are more things tying Randy Orton to more people right now than I think Bray Wyatt. So I'm going to take the safer pick and say they're going to go with Orton. I hope Bray wins. I like Bray. I think he deserves a very long title run. But I feel like they've kind of always kneecapped him right before he was really going to get over. I shouldn't say over. Before he was going to be able to do something special. And I think this is another example where they're going to go, thanks, Bray, but we're giving the title back to Randy.
All right. So now we have to go back to – we have to final – well, you know, finish the show with what could be the – how should I put it? The main event of WrestleMania, and I'm saying that loosely, of course. I'll do it in quotes. And it's going to be Lesnar versus Goldberg. Goldberg or Lesnar wins, Aaron.
That's it?
I really don't care about this match. I really don't.
Doug, do you have anything that you want to add for the match?
I am not going to do what I did last year. I am not going to hedge my bet. I'm not going to go against the beast, the man that is Brock Lesnar. My only question is, does this go over under 5 minutes? Like, start of the bell to the end bell, the final 1, 2, 3, does this go over 5 minutes?
Are you being...
You know, I'm going to say it does. I think it does, but just barely. Like, I see this as being a seven-minute match.
Oh, I thought it was a rhetorical question that he asked.
No, it was a legitimate... It's a legitimate question of does
Andy,
it go
what do
over
you think?
5 minutes?
Realistically, this match is going to be bad.
Under 5 minutes.
Oh, definitely under. I'm guessing maybe two.
Way under. Under.
What do you think?
I think Brock Lesnar beats Goldberg faster than Goldberg beat Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series to make Brock Lesnar win the feud and look as dominant as possible so he can put over the Golden Boy next year. And I'm going to say this. The only thing that has me curious about this match is that will this be A, worse than WrestleMania 20, and B, will this end up being one of the worst three main events of all time? That's it. This won't be good. This won't be entertaining. We won't be talking about this for any good reasons. I just want to know, will this be worse than Hunter Orton at 25? Will this be worse than Cena Miz at 27? Will this be Bam Bam LT bad or any of the other awful main events that we've had? Because that's the only thing I think I'm curious about.
I think it's got to be a few more minutes than that, in my opinion. I think that they don't want to leave a taste in someone's mouth where it is terrible. And doing it at SummerSlam is one thing. You do it one time and it's a surprise. Like, holy crap, that was under 2 minutes. That was a minute 30. That's a big deal. However, though, for the main event of your biggest show, people are paying money to see just this match. If they do under 2 minutes, I think that would be a huge mistake. I think if it went to 4 minutes or whatever, that's fine. You know, it's two big hulking guys. I could see that, but I don't know. I mean, I would be shocked if it is under 2 minutes. I'd be very shocked, in my opinion.
You will be shocked.
Just like you were shocked at Survivor Series when they went under 2 minutes.
I was shocked, but that was Survivor Series. You know, that was That was their, you know, that's not their biggest pay-per-view. I mean, that's really like their fourth, fifth biggest pay-per-view right now. So
what would be more shocking, though? This or the Shocker?
The Shockmaster might be more shocking to see.
Let me ask you a question, though, Aaron. So let's say your theory is right. Did Brock really win the feud?
No, but he doesn't have to. I mean, right now, Goldberg really has three big things over Lesnar. You know, he obviously has the two wins, and then he threw him out at Royal Rumble this past year and made Goldberg look dominant. So what's going to happen, I believe, in this is we are going to see Goldberg probably go to attack him right away and probably miss. And I think then we're going to have Goldberg and Lesnar. It's going to be a punch for punch. It's going to be a heavyweight title bout. And I think it'll go a few minutes. It's not going to be WrestleMania 20 bad, but I don't think it's going to be like Survivor Series. I don't think that's going to be a good match, but I think it's going to be something passable. Goldberg will lose. Lesnar is going to look dominant, and that will help put over Roman Reigns then for the next year.
So wouldn't you say, though, if the plan is to put over Roman Reigns, that you want Brock Lesnar looking as humanly dominant as possible?
But they have a full year to do that, and he is going to be everybody that they put in his path this next year. So Lesnar is going to probably do, you know, let's just say five pay-per-views, you know, from now until next year's WrestleMania. So he's going to do five pay-per-views. They're going to put five really big people up in front of him. So he'll probably take on like Kevin Owens more than likely. Maybe he'll, you know, they've actually talked about maybe Cesaro, which I actually think would be a good if they did a proper build-up, because Cesaro is a big guy. Sheamus is another person that they could throw at him. You know, Jericho.
Samoa Joe.
Seth Rollins, who I had said that's probably going to be, I think that's who Lesnar probably takes on at SummerSlam. It would be Seth Rollins. That'd be my guess. So Lesnar is going to have five matches. He's going to defeat five babyfaces cleanly and very, very confidently, too. He's going to defeat these people. And then when Roman Reigns finally comes and he's gonna take down that big guy, then that's how they're gonna make Roman Reigns look strong. So that's my opinion. A million things are gonna happen between now and then, of course. But
they fight over a garage on that one.
That yeah,
well, They'll have a tug of war over the lawn sign, so that way they can combine the two feuds.
You know, I make this good.
I say this again. I think we'll spend a lot of time. You know, you'll be able to know how good this match was when we do our post special. You'll be able to hear our voices, like either wow, that really was much better than we thought, or it'll be like last year when we watched Roman Hunter and we're just like, huh, can we get out of here?
And you know what? The sad thing is, I think that's what will end up happening. The other thing we haven't talked about is that there will be some type of a rock promo and the music performance as well. So that's something.
Oh, you mean the piss break?
Yes, that's exactly. That's unfortunately for WrestleMania, that wasn't the case for us because we couldn't do anything and because of where we were.
I thought that there was the John Cena proposal. Isn't that the beer break?
Yes, that's the Chipotle break. You go to Chipotle,
gotcha.
You're like, don't care about this. Come back. It happened. And he'll propose to her with the title belt. Will you marry me? And that's where the Divas title will be.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster? Are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click strip installs with a free ability and hands on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try free demo. It's the easiest. And if you use a special coupon code, OffTheMark, or WrestleMania, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do y'all do? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web host costs. Also, make sure you check our site as well. You're going to see a new banner coming up, and it's going to have specials on all the new WrestleMania 33 gear as well. You got to check that out. So expectations for this year, Aaron. Do you have anything that you're really looking forward to or something you're not looking forward to, a.k.a. the main event?
Yeah, so I think that this is rather interesting for the four of us because last year we were at WrestleMania. And so we went to it wasn't one of the worst WrestleManias. You know, a lot of people put this in the middle, you know, just kind of one of those throwaway WrestleManias. However, though, we were there, we had a fantastic time. It was well worth it to go. I really can't wait to go to the next one with you guys. But with that said, this one's build up and the matches that are on the card, I feel are very similar. I will be very interested to see how they are able to make this a good WrestleMania. They do have a few more people there, so they're not going to be running on fumes like they were last year, where they were missing so many of their biggest players. This year, though, I'm very curious about some of the matches and why they put them in the way that they did. AJ Styles is going to put on a great match, and I can't wait to see that. You know, the main event, I'm not too hot on. Really, Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, I'm you know, excited to see that. Orton White actually will be good because they've never really wrestled before. I'm curious about Reigns and Taker. I think that's going to be interesting. But a lot of the other matches are just kind of like, eh. So I don't know. I mean, it feels like WrestleMania, but at the same time, I'm just kind of iffy on it. So maybe that might make it a good WrestleMania if they exceed my expectations, which are kind of at neutral right now.
Kind of like Aaron said, I have low expectations for this WrestleMania. So maybe by keeping my expectations low, it'll be passable or at least decent. The only matches I'm really looking forward to are Y2J and KO, and Wyatt Orton actually is the only other match that I'm really looking forward to, because I really don't want to see Shane bring down AJ Styles. I mean, I know AJ will do phenomenal. He'll carry Shane as far as he can go, but it still won't be a good, good match just on the knowledge of what it could have been. And I think that that's what's really going to be the theme of the pay-per-view, is what could have been. This could have been great, but we did this instead. So my expectations would be a 4 out of 10, with hopes of raising it by the end of the show. So that's my thoughts.
To Aaron's point, is that to me, this doesn't feel like WrestleMania. And the reason is that last year, we had an excuse, right? Everybody was hurt. They didn't have anything in the cupboard to really put on a great show. So when Hunter was forced into the main event because Rollins and Cena and Orton and everybody and Wyatt, all of them were knocked out. So you understood why the card was lackluster. This year, you've got your full assortment of talent. I don't know any big names that are knocked out. And for the most part, this is kind of disappointing. Like, for having, again, a very stacked roster, this doesn't feel like those epic WrestleManias like X7 or 19, where you're just getting dream match after dream match after dream match. Like, for the most part, it's part-timer mania, which, you know, I understand that's part of the WrestleMania spectacle. But, like, where are the matches that make me go, I will be talking about this for years to come? Jericho Owens has a great feud and will be the match of the night, but that's not Rock Austin. That's not Shawn Taker. That's not Shawn Jericho. You know, AJ, I love AJ, but where is that match that AJ can have with a Nakamura, Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens, a guy where you can say, like, wow, this was one of the best matches I've ever seen? Instead, we're getting more, it feels like a WrestleMania built around angles as opposed to matches. Roman Undertaker is not going to be good. The only question is whether or not Roman goes over. Brock Goldberg isn't going to be good. It's the question of how dominant will Brock look. AJ Shane will be okay because it's AJ Styles and Shane is not terrible, but it's a question of how AJ will look. And to me, if you're going to give me 6 hours of television, there needs to be matches that I want to see. And right now, there's probably 2 to 3 matches that I would say are WrestleMania worthy. And that's a problem to me. Like, I get that Brock Goldberg is a spectacle, so it's going to be at WrestleMania. But that is not a WrestleMania caliber match. That is a WrestleMania caliber draw. Jericho Owens is fantastic. I'm fine with that. I look at the rest of this card, and it's like, I long for the days, I guess, of TLC, where, you know, we had feuds up and down the card, and things were exciting. And this feels lackluster to me. And kind of like what Doug said, I think this is going to be a 4 out of 10. I hope something happens, though there's no money in the bank to really, really shoot things up. So I'm kind of like, I just hope it isn't terrible. That's the way I'm going to look at this, is that I hope it's not as bad as I think it will be. Maybe they can pull a rabbit out of the hat like 31.
Yeah, it was actually just one very minor point I was going to say, is like 31, you know, for the most part, was not that great of a WrestleMania. Cena got a win that we were expecting him to. Triple H went over Sting for some odd reason. The NWO helped him out. What? But Rollins, but Rollins at the very end of WrestleMania 31, because that main event ended in the way that it did, it made that WrestleMania so much better. So, Andy, what are your closing thoughts?
Here's my thing. I believe that SmackDown got the shaft on this one. I truthfully believe that the only reason why Shane McMahon AJ Styles match is happening is because AJ Styles and Chris Jericho, I think, was a that was a great match last year. And I believe that they don't want that. They're like, wait a minute, we don't want him to have another great match. That's why he's not. It should have been a three-way dance for the title. And granted, I think Bray and Orton are going to have a great match. I think we'll be very surprised on that one. I think of course Jericho and Owens will be the main event. And I believe that Dean Ambrose and Corbin could have a good, but it'll be a 5-10 minute match, but I think it'll still be good. But other than that, I just see crap. And I see SmackDown getting crapped on because their women's match is not on the card. It's in the fact that Neville and Aries are going to be also on there. And that just, I don't know why, but that just bothers me. So this I think will be, I don't know if I can go as high as a 4. I will say at least a 3 out of 10. But I want something to surprise me. I want someone to say, we are going to tear the house down. And I really believe that it could be Ambrose and Corbin. That could be the match that we're like, whoa, surprisingly, they worked really well together. So, and that's, and realistically, I am looking forward to WrestleMania. I'm just not looking forward to as much as like last year, and I think other years as well, because I think it's going to be tough to top. Basically, 31 was great, and 32 had a lot of moments, but this one, I don't see any good moments coming out of this, unfortunately. But I'm looking forward to WrestleMania. I'm looking forward to doing our after show. As soon as WrestleMania goes off the air, I'm gonna go to my basement, have everything ready to go earlier, and then we're going to just start recording, and I'll put the show out as soon as possible, hopefully by midnight, but on Central Time, of course. But I'm looking forward to this, to doing this after show, and I'm looking forward to seeing our reactions. So I will not. I hope we can all not talk, and then when it comes to it, we just start talking. But this should be a very interesting thing. So any last thoughts, Aaron?
Doug? Nope.
Roger.
Let's see what happens. Ultimate Thrill Ride.
Yep. That's my yard. Aaron, that still kills me. That still kills me. But anyway, so that's all the time we have for our 8th annual WrestleMania pre-show. If you're into the Twitter, you follow the show at AuthorMark86, and I will be live tweeting during the show as well. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And for Doug Hahn, Roger Cave, and Aaron Hughes, I'm Andrew Hughes, and until next time, see you in the ring.